Much reading of the scripture. Thank you, Will. Really appreciate that. And certainly we're grateful that the comments you've made and all of you being here today and just being able to hear Will read the scriptures. Brent, lead us in this good singing. We're glad you're here, and we want to continue to pray, as has already been indicated, for all those who are sick. And I mean, we have some that are very, very ill right now, and we surely want to remember them in our prayers unto the Father. Now, this next week, Joe Winicky's daughter, Amanda, is to undergo a very serious, long surgery. That's on Wednesday. Joe will be praying for Amanda. May God help her to come through this surgery. I think someone has suggested or said it'd probably be 6 hours of surgery. So we surely want to remember them in our prayers. Had something to happen I got to tell you before I preach. Steve Lovell was walking from here back here over here just a little while ago as I was sitting up here. Behind him, two little boys, the older one and then the younger one. And Steve was ahead of them, and he was just leading right on down here. That was a pretty sight, Steve. I wish everybody could have seen that. Here's Grandpa, got those two little grand boys, and leading them right back there to their place where they are now. I just had to share that with you. We appreciate the fact that we can study and just work together in the kingdom of God. You heard read by Will, Senator, a few minutes ago from Genesis chapter 13, I just want to summarize that just a little bit as we get into our lesson this morning. The characters that are found here are Abram and Lot, primarily, and their herdsmen. And we already know that God has blessed both of those men so abundantly. They're so rich. They've got so very much. And then the herdsmen now are at each other's throat somewhat. There's strife that is between them. And how are they going to settle this matter? Abram was a man that knew the truth. And he knew that brethren ought not be divided. And in order to get this thing taken care of, well, he proposed something. And that is, he said to Lot's nephew, "You make a choice. You go that way and I'll go this." And you heard read where the Bible says that one thing the Lord did, he looked out there and he looked and he saw, boy, that sure does look good over there near Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at all of, but that's, I think I'm going to take that direction. He chose that direction. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then Abraham went the other direction, went into Canaan. And God blessed him and helped him. But strife was something that was already occurring between these two people who loved each other. And they wanted to get it all settled. I remember some time ago, several years ago, there was a man that was running for the presidency of the United States. And he made the statement. He said, "Bring us together." Country was all split up, and he was pleading with people, "Bring us together." That's a good plea. I want this morning to talk to you about strife. What had occurred, of course, between Abram and Lot and their herdsmen, and some of the causes. What is strife anyway? It's the act of striving or vying with one another, contention or competition. And the act of or state of fighting or quarreling bitterly, sometimes bringing about all kinds of sorrow on the part of those that are involved. Now, let me just say in the very beginning, sometimes you and your wife may have a quarrel. Sometimes you and your, I had a man one time, though, that told me that he and his wife had never had a quarrel. I'm not going to tell him that he's not telling the truth. But I tell you, I don't know how two people can live together without disagreeing and maybe being contentious sometimes. And when we have that, I always tell Ann that she's wrong. I mean, after all, you know, she needs to listen to somebody that knows what's best for her. But, no, with husband and wives sometimes, and you know what's so sad about that, though, if you have any kids, a lot of times the kids, they hear that contention and strife between the mom and daddy. And maybe the voices get so loud, and the kids kind of shake and shiver. And friends, it ought not be that way. But a lot of times it is. And I don't know about you, but every time we have a disagreement, a contention, then we find out that that's not the way to do it. We just get together, work it out, because you don't want to have any strife. Where you work, sometimes that comes with employers and employees. Even among families sometimes, they're brothers and sisters that haven't spoken to each other, maybe for years, because of some kind of inheritance that they got, and it brought about a lot of discord, strife. I preached a sermon one time. I never will forget Ms. Jones's funeral up in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Elena Smith was her daughter, and whenever I used the text, "Your sorrow shall be turned into joy." When I was out at the cemetery, I never will forget Elena coming over to me, "Brother Guy, your sermon has already been realized." She said, "Oh, but Mama, we loved her so much, and our sorrow is greatly because of her passing, but our sorrow has been turned into joy because today, brothers and sisters who haven't spoken to one another for years and years, maybe some 15 years, they've spoken to each other. They got all these things worked out. Everything's okay." They took the death of that precious woman who never saw that unit. Isn't that sad? Why do people wait? If there is strife, what needs to be done? Harmony needs to be wrought. Abram said that there ought not to be strife between them, because why? Because they were brethren. And if you're in a family, and your brothers and sisters, and your sons and daughters, husbands and wives, no matter what the relationship may be, strife, contention hurts. It hurts bad. There are so many scriptures that warns us about strife. It hinders us to be effective whenever we're even working with those outside of the church, working with one another in the body of Christ. The kind of Christians we need to be. Look at what the Bible says about where there is strife. That's it. Proverbs 17, verse 1. It says, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife." God told you something, told me something. He didn't want it. Look in Proverbs 17, verse 19. "He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction." But God keeps on talking. In the book of James, chapter 3, 16. "For where envy and strife is," God says, "I'll tell you what's going to be there. Here's your answer. There's confusion in every good work." Again, it's forbidden in the scriptures. Proverbs 3, verse 30 says, "Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm." Proverbs 17, 14, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." Don't let strife be among you. And then in Proverbs 20, verse 3, "It's an honor for a man to cease from strife, But every fool will be meddling. God just tells us more and more about it. This is what God says. No wonder you can read in Proverbs 25 and verse 8, "Go not forth hastily to strive. Thou know not what to do in the end thereof. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, sorrow, shame." Proverbs 26, verse 17, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him. It's like one that taketh a dog by the ears." What's God saying? It's a terrible thing. You should do everything you can not to have that contention and strife. In the book of Romans 13, verse 13, Paul writes, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Why? We know what it does. We're warned that it's even the work of the flesh. In Galatians 5, verses 19 and 20, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife." Right there with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, strife is included. They that do such things shall not. He didn't say perhaps they'll not get there. He makes it very clear. He says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul is writing to the brethren that had helped support him from the beginning of his preaching the gospel. He loved these brethren. He cared for these Philippians. And he says to them, "Don't do anything through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." And then we hear Paul. And Paul is writing now to Timothy. He said, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." And then in 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the servant of the Lord," the one who serves the Lord, the child of God, the Christian, "must not be guilty of strife." Strive must not strive, "but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." Yes, the scriptures teach us to be united. And Jesus prayed. Yes, he begged God in John chapter 17, 20 and 21, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." Don't you wish everybody in the church of the Lord, in all churches of Christ, all could be saved? We're all one. There's no strife among us. There's no contention. Why? Because that's what Jesus prayed for. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." We want the world to believe something. What do we want the world to believe? That God sent Jesus, and he sent him to make us all one together. No wonder Paul, as he begs the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." No wonder he says in the conclusion of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." How wonderful are the words that bring unity together. No wonder Paul could say to the Philippians in Philippians 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. I want good news. I want to hear about you, brethren. I want to hear something's good, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Just working together, not apart. No wonder in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. That's the antidote that we need in order to have the peace among brethren that God wants us to have. What causes people? What is it that will cause people to be contentious? What is it that causes strife anyway? Pride. Lifted up with oneself. Pride causes men to be contentious about their own opinions. They want their way. And listen to what God says. In Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Isn't that something? Wanting my way, no matter whatever anybody else says, being scornful to mock or deride people, always giving people a hard time. Just difficult to live with. Proverbs 22, verse 10, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease if you don't have that individual. Oh, the troublemaker, the one who wants to see trouble, the one who wants to see brethren to be at one another, husbands and wives to be at one another, children with their parents. Ah, Leviticus 19, verse 16 says, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. That's the cause of strife. May I suggest, too, that those who will not listen to sound Bible teaching is the cause of strife. If any man teach any otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, this man is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. I wish that everywhere you went and that on the building that had Church of Christ, that you could walk in there, and you could be assured that those brethren, if they're up in Washington, D.C., if they're in Richmond, Virginia, if they're out in Texas, wherever you may be, you would know that only these brethren will be following just the teaching of Jesus Christ. We were traveling up near Cincinnati, Ohio. Ann and I were one day, and this was many years ago, had the name Church of Christ on the building, the time for their services that evening. And so we decided, well, we'll just stop here now and go to serve. We walked in. As soon as we walked in, we looked in the front. There was a big old piano on the front. All kinds of activities. Friend, that's not according to sound doctrine. We just made a turn and walked right out. I wish, though, the people would wear the name of Christ. Churches would be called churches of Christ. Romans 16, verse 16. But that all brethren would speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you. Why is it today when you drive up to a church building with the name Church of Christ in many places, the first thing you see is some great big entertainment center right next to it? You walk in, and people are what? They're involved in doing things that you know is not what God wants. Yes, it's not those who stand for the truth that cause strife, but those who do not. Remember Galatians 1, we studied this Wednesday night in my class. In Galatians 1, verses 8 beginning, Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be anathema. For do we persuade men or God? Why, if we're just persuading men, we would not be the servants of Jesus Christ. And then in Galatians 3, verse 1, remember that passage where Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath fooled you to turn away from the gospel of Christ? Who hath bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been set forth, evidently crucified among you. How can we avoid strife among brethren? Do our best to avoid it. Yes, as Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Be slow to anger. Proverbs 15, 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Practice the golden rule. Can't we do that in the church? You're my brethren, you're my sisters. We're all one family. And I'm so glad we're among the people of God at O'Neill who believe in that. As the Bible says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So many troubles would be solved if we would all live by this important rule. You see, that's the product of having the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 22. And no wonder Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God and do what? Don't have a quarrel against any. Why? Forgive him. Work with him. Practice the rule that is golden. And I want to ask you a question right here this morning. How many of the people at O'Neill do you know by name? It's embarrassing to me sometimes that especially among the children, I can't remember the children's names. How are we going to be able to? Yeah, and sometimes people say, well, I didn't even know you were a member at O'Neill. Friend, let's have the love for each other to let's get acquainted. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Take time. Show yourself friendly. No wonder in Hebrews 13:13, the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In conclusion, don't be selfish. Love the Lord. I love that passage in John 13, verse 35. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one for another. I'm glad I'm working with the church that love each other. Elders that love you, love the Lord. Oh, and I'm glad people talk to one another. And we present these things to keep us that way. May God help us that we will never have strife or contention. And when there is, to get it taken care of. Husbands, listen to me. Wives, listen to me. The divorce courts have been kept busy over the years. And you know one of the reasons? The reason that I'm talking about this morning, strife, contention between husband and wife. Oh, no wonder. God tells us this is a terrible sin and puts it with all those sins that he speaks of as a work of the flesh. Be peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. We must not be the cause of strife. We must avoid this evil. And surely we must promote peace and well-being among the other. Ann and I were listening. We heard this song. You may have heard it. It's called Too Much to Gain to Lose. Have you ever thought what you're going to gain when life is all over for you? I've been thinking a lot lately. When the curtain is finally down, it's all over. Friend, we've got too much to gain to quit and lose it. Dottie Rambo wrote the words, too much to gain to lose. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears have helped me to remember there's just too much to gain to lose. And then, too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water and defeat is one word I don't use. Too much to gain to lose. Won't you hear the word of the Lord? Won't you believe what he says? Won't you this morning repent of your sins, confess his name, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? God's way of helping us to be the kind of people they ought to be. Several weeks ago, there was a couple that came by the store. We'd gotten acquainted with them, and they had a 29-year-old daughter. She'd been in there, and we'd gotten acquainted with her. Her name was Kayla. But when they came in the store a couple weeks ago, they were crying. And I said, what's wrong? They said, Kayla passed away. 29 years of age. 29. She had been told 5 years ago to almost the day that she died, she had cancer. They had all kinds of surgeries. She and her husband could not have children. But Kayla was a Christian. And her mom and daddy said, about a week or so before she died, different people would come in, knowing that probably this would be the last time they'd see each other. And when they came in, before they left, this, and I wrote it down so I could tell you exactly what she said. She would say to them, I want to see you later when I'm gone. If you don't get your life right with God, then this will be goodbye. A number of the people who had been serving the Lord came back. They were restored to the Lord. Even her husband became more zealous for the kingdom of God. A young girl, 29 years of age, gone. But what a tremendous person she was. Telling these people she loved, if you don't get your life right, get back with the Lord, then this will be goodbye. Friend, are you right with the Lord? What does it take to get you even in the Lord? Won't you obey the Lord this morning? Won't you this morning, if you're a child of God and you're not right with Him, won't you get right? Ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. The invitation of Jesus is yours. Won't you obey it? While together we stand and while we stand.